Welcome to Super Tatis for Sukkos. The purpose of this Super Tatis is really to give a little bit of preparation for everybody who's going to be spending all of this time of Yontif in their Sukkah. And I look at a Yontif as an opportunity not only to spend a lot of time with my family and get deeper into the Chovos Hayom, but I also like to use it as an opportunity to introduce my family to a more finite iyun. So this obviously depends on your family demographics, but one of the things that I like to do, like for example, last year, I spent a lot of time working on the Gruah for Purim, or for Pesach, I spent a lot of time working on the Netziv, both stories of the Netziv and the Netziv Sabgada, and his comments on Inyone Geula and Yitzias Mitzrayim and whatnot. And for Sukkos, I kind of did a similar thing. I prepared two different things in the world of the Beis Medrash of the Gruah. The first was Rav Molzen, who is the Mechaber of the Evan Shlema, of the Toras HaGruah, wrote a sefer called Barak HaShachar about synonyms. So this is about words which seem as if they have the same meaning, but there is a slight difference. So for example, Sason and Simcha. Or Mishan and Mivtach. These are words that you would think on their face they just mean just about the same thing, but there's a slight distinction. And I think that currently it's very hard for children growing up in the United States of America, where Hebrew is not their first language, to develop a appreciation for language. So I picked, some people might think it's a little nerdy, but I picked a few words that, you know, relate to the Yontif, Sason and Simcha being a great example, to try to help us appreciate the precision of the language sometimes of the Matbea Shel Tefila or other Inyanei Achag. So that's something I'd like to do over the Yontif. Moreover, one of the other things I like to do is have some retzef through the Ushpizin. In the nights, I like to talk about each of the Ushpizin. In fact, I have a child who kind of keeps me on my toes and notes when I repeat Divrei Torah. There's certain Divrei Torah which I say over and over and over again. So, for example, when we get to Yitzchak, we say in the Slichos, Mishna the Iso, we say Mishe Ana la Avram Avinu Baharam Ruya. So when Yitzchak was on the Mizbeach at Akedas Yitzchak, apparently he davened. What did he daven for? So that's a question I asked, right? And I ask, why do we call Akedas Yitzchak and not an ordeal for Avram? Meaning it seems to imply that it was more difficult for Yitzchak than it was for Avram. So I talk about, by Avram, I talk about Chesed and how the Akeda was the opposite of his natural inclination, felt like an act almost of Achzarios. And with respect to Yitzchak, we talk about the Mida of Gvura and how he was a 37-year-old man being taken and knowing that he was going to die by a much older man that he could physically overpower. How could he submit to such a thing? And so on and so forth. We talk about Yaakov Avinu as the meat of Tiferes. There's a beautiful piece in the Kuntres Yerach Eitzanim from the Pachad Yitzchak of Rav Huttner, where he talks about Yaakov was an Ish Oalim. He sat in the oil of his father and the oil of his grandfather, meaning that he could do both. Both of those mitos, and so on and so forth. I like to, you know, get through all of that. We get to David HaMelech. We talk about the famous Chazal about, you know, at the end of days, we're going to have this great Suda, and David HaMelech gets to lead benching. Sometimes I talk about the distinction between David and Shaul, where it says David did two Averus, but he kept the Melucha, but Shaul did one and lost the Melucha, and why that would be, and the beautiful Gruh, with respect to that, the Chai Odom's Hesped for the Gra, sometimes I talk about, but with each of them, there's always something with the Ushpizin. So I have the Baraka Hashachar, I have the Ushpizin, and during the days, I was thinking of doing a couple of the Pirushim of the Gra on the Sugyas of in Baba Basra of the Rabbah Bar Bar Chana Agados, which are very, 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 very cryptic and supposed to be extraordinarily deep. This is what Rabbi Feldman's English book, The Juggler and the King, is an elaboration upon. It's supposed to be some of the secrets of, you know, secrets of, you know, of the world. So my youngest is 8, my oldest is 17. So where I am now, I feel like I could maybe mention what the Agada says and give everybody a minute saying, okay, whoever comes up with the best answer, I'd really be interested. What do you think this Agada is about? So I might try that. The truth is there's a lot of freestyling on a Yontif. I find that historically my family comes in with more material. Could be my wife has something that's, you know, that's really very poignant that she wants to share. My children may have divrei Torah from school. My older children may have prepared a little bit. So I have to be very fluid. But I have those Rabbah Bar Bar Chanas in pocket ready in case I have that opportunity. That said, there are a couple thinking questions that I like to use. So the question is, the Rama says that you're supposed to be metayel in the sukkah, which is understood as to schmooze. So the Bikurei Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, brings a question. I think it's a shla, and other echrenim discuss the question. So is it better to schmooze inside the sukkah or to treat it like a holy place and not schmooze in it at all? So I like to talk about that, about the idea of, you know, raising the bar versus being mekadesh the chol. There's a beautiful Maharal I like to talk about, asks the question why the mikdash is called sukkas David, dafka a sukkah. And he talks about the concept of resilience, which is a really nice thing. There's a question I like to ask. I heard from either in the name of Meir Goldwicht, I believe many years ago, that, you know, that famous medrash about the different parts of the body and the dalin minim. So one luluv, one spine. We have one esrog and one heart. We have two lips, so we have two aravos. But we have two eyes and we have three hadassim. So what's the purpose of the extra eye? That's a nice kasha. Gives you lots of ways to back into truisms. One of the things I also like to mention is the very last piece in the Shar Bitachon, where it talks about the 10 different levels of Bitachon. To the extent that the sukkah is an expression of Bitachon, and we have 10 different words for Bitachon, I like to talk about that and those levels and what it means for us as we leave behind some of our creature comforts. On Shabbos Kodesh, I do have one Torah that I'm planning on saying, and this is something I had thought about today and have been thinking about as I've been saturating in the Kisvei Shlomo HaMelech over the last while, is the question of why we read Koheles on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So I have an approach that Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, and Koheles, per Chazal, were at different periods of Shlomo Melech's life. He wrote the first when he was young, the second when he was in the middle of his days, and the last when he was older. And each of them really represent a key component to the Shlemus of an Eved Hashem. The first one is you need to be passionate. Shir HaShirim is all about passion. The second one is that you need to be wise. Mishlei is all about wisdom. And the third one is you need to be focused, meaning to say you have to eliminate the noise of the noise and haste of life to be able to be successful. Otherwise, you could be stuck doing all kinds of speed bumps as opposed to focused on the meat and potatoes of life. So to that very last point, there is a strong connection in between Koheles and Sukkos as follows. When we go into our sukkah, especially in today's age where we're living lives, Baruch Hashem, of extraordinary plenty, I think, you know, one of the things that happens is we move from a rather large space to a significantly smaller space, and we have to make decisions in order to fit in that smaller space. What are we going to prioritize to take with us, right? We can't take everything. Meaning for me, I have a bag of Sfarim that I keep by the door, because the sukkah is on my porch and I keep it right by the porch. So I say I can take it in, take it out, you know, and things like that. And those are the Sfarim that I'm using right now, you know, and we all have to make those sorts of decisions in order to fit something into that space. What is worth taking with us? And the same thing is really the focus of Koheles, is that we live lives with a finite amount of time, but an infinite amount, and I'll only talk about the good things to do, meaning every day I live on planet Earth, I have at least 48 hours of good things that I would intend to do should I have the opportunity. But the question is, how am I going to prioritize? I can't do them all. They all don't fit, just like everything doesn't fit in the sukkah. So really, both of them are expression reminding us that we have to prioritize in life and we have to choose wisely, both with respect to space and, very importantly, with respect to time. Everybody have a wonderful Yontif and Be'ezras Hashem. One other thing. If anybody's looking for one other piece of material, look in the very, very last two halachos in Perek Yud Aleph of the Evan Shlema, talking about all of the chagim of Tishrei and how they all come together. That's another place to look. Hopefully this will be enough. Hopefully your family will come to the table with lots of wonderful things. But I find that I always get, you know, when it comes to a beautiful Yontif, I prepare all these things and then I get overwhelmed and excited about something and I just talk about that. Hopefully that will be Tofeach Lahadfiach, and I hope it's Tofeach Lahadfiach for you. And I hope that you and your families have a wonderful, uplifting Yontif.